Good morning. Our scripture passage this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. This is the second Sunday of Advent. It's the Sunday where the church celebrates peace. We light the candle of peace. Last week, we lit the candle of hope. This week, it's peace. And so our passage is actually the prophecy that was turned into a song of the priest Zechariah. Zechariah and Elizabeth were the parents of John the Baptist. They were both descendants of Aaron. And if you go back in chapter 1, it gives us a little bit of history regarding and leading up to this prophecy of Zechariah. Because we're told in verse 5 these words: "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." So it says in those days, in the days of Herod. This was a very difficult time. The very last prophetic word is given by the prophet Malachi, and it's in chapter 4. And it's the prophecy that the angel Gabriel quotes when he appears to Zechariah, which I'll talk about in a minute, and I'll share that quote. But that was the last word from a prophet for 400 years. Israel at that time had not had a king for 100 years. And so it had been 500 years since Israel had had a king. The Israelites had been overrun and taken over and basically put into the status of being peasants to the Greeks under Alexander the Great, to the Ptolemies, to the Syrians, and now to the Romans. It was 400 years of silence. And in those 400 years of silence, the people still prayed for and hoped for the Messiah. One of the prophecies of the Messiah can be found in Isaiah 9, verse 6. You've heard it before. If you sing the Alleluia chorus, you'll hear this verse recited. But let me read it to you. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In Hebrew, as most of you know, the word peace is shalom. So the very last name in this list that is given to the Messiah, to Jesus, is the Prince of Shalom. And shalom means many wonderful things. It means peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, tranquility. And the people of Israel, for this whole time between Malachi and the coming of Jesus and to this day, will greet one another with the word shalom, and they'll say goodbye to one another with the word shalom. And that's very interesting because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is the Alpha and the Omega. And what we have here in this prophecy, as I'll highlight, is a prophetic word about peace. But just a little bit of background information. Zechariah had been called to go into the temple. They all would take turns and they would sometimes cast lots to make that decision. I don't know, maybe they did it that way all the time. But the lot fell to him. It was his turn to go into the temple. And this was not always an easy time. People were sort of afraid of the presence of God in the temple. But we're told that both Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were righteous before God. But they didn't have any children. We're told that Elizabeth was barren. And they were older now. It says they were, in the New King James, stricken in years. I think as we all get older, we understand that word stricken. Get some creaks and everything in our bones. But they were stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course and according to the custom of the priest's office, he was chosen by lot to go in and fulfill the priestly duties and burn incense to the Lord. And as he was burning incense to the Lord, he went in to do that. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar. We find out later that this is Gabriel. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zechariah. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." And then he goes on to describe more about him and how he's going to live and what's going to happen. And he says that John will go before him, meaning the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See, this verse 17 is quoting the last word in Malachi, and that is the coming of John the Baptist to herald in the coming of Christ. And so for 400 years, this prophecy was waiting to be fulfilled. And the Lord is faithful. Sometimes we have to wait. And the people of Israel kept greeting with shalom and saying goodbye with shalom. And this was a way of remembering that the Prince of Peace would come. I'm sure that for many, it just became a saying. They didn't maybe keep track of the meaning behind that word. But for others, I'm sure it was a very much part of their faith. Well, we find out that Gabriel was a little bit questioning, I guess you could say, of Gabriel. And it seems like Gabriel might have been a little strict with him, too, because Zechariah said, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering him said unto him, now he's going to like say who he is. He says, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And so we're told that Zechariah was in there a long time, and the people were waiting, and they marveled that he was in there so long. But when he came out, they realized he couldn't speak. Apparently, they didn't think he could hear either, because we're told that they were making signs to him, at least at first. And we're told that it came to pass that after, you know, he was done and he came out, his wife Elizabeth conceived. But she hid herself for 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So that's where we have Gabriel then going and speaking to Mary. And Mary breaks out in that song called the Magnificat. It's called the Magnificat because that's what it's referenced as in the Greek Septuagint version of the Gospel of Luke. But anyway, this takes us up to our time and where we're going to read our scripture, which starts with verse 67. And then just maybe a couple more things before we read it. We're told back in verse 57 that Elizabeth went full term and she delivered her son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it says, "It came to pass on the 8th day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, 'Not so, he shall be John.' And they said to her, 'There's none of thy kindred that are called by this name.' So they went to Zechariah, they said, 'What's his name?'" She's trying to call him Zechariah, she's trying to call him John. And so he asked for something to write on, and he wrote, "His name is John." And it says they all marveled. They marveled because he went outside the normal course of things. But this is what's interesting. Verse 64, "His mouth was opened immediately. His tongue was loosed. And he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around him. And all those sayings were noised abroad throughout all of the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, 'What manner of child shall this be?' And the hand of the Lord was with him." So Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied. That's our scripture. So here's the beginning of the prophecy with verse 68, and we'll go through 79. "And his father said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the Highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That last verse is amazing. And I find it really interesting that Zechariah went through a long period of silence, just like the Israelites had as a nation, 400 years for the Israelites. But so Zechariah seems to be like kind of in that long period of silence also for his unbelief. And then when he spoke, we have the fulfillment of the last word that God had given, which was in Malachi. And then the last word of this prophecy says that this Messiah will give light to them that sit in darkness. See, they've been in a dark age, 400 years of darkness, and he's bringing light to them, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet. Now that shadow of death, if you'll remember Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So we see that Jesus is being tied to the name of the Lord as our shepherd, as well as all the other names that are listed that we've mentioned as well. And so this shepherd that will take them through the shadow of death, and they don't need to fear evil, who will give them light, will guide their feet into the way of peace. So I think that's a good way for us to pray, is, Lord, guide my feet into the way of peace. Guide my feet into the way of shalom and all the different meanings of shalom. You know, we're all on a journey in this life. None of us have arrived, but we're working for peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And so we're called by God to be peacemakers. But God, through Christ, guides our feet into that way, the way of peace. I'm wondering, you know, if the reason why Christians were called people of the way had something to do with this verse, because it's the way of peace. And it's the peace that Christ brings. Christ always brings peace. Isn't it interesting how you can have inner peace even though your outer life is in disarray and you're working towards bringing harmony and peace, or whatever shade of meaning you need for any situation that shalom means, and it means pretty much anything for any situation that brings things to a place of harmony and peace. That you can have inner peace with God while you do your work for God in a world that is not at peace. And he will show us the way of peace. And from the moment he appeared, he became the light of this world. And then we find in the book of Revelation a wonderful promise of the fulfillment of peace. I love this verse. I quote it often. It says, when Christ returns, it talks about it in chapter 22. and how there's going to be, you know, a new city. It says, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And this verse 3 I love. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and the name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. See, the Lord God will give them light. This is a fulfillment. What I just read from Revelation 22 is a fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy, verse 79, that the Messiah will give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So now he is their light, and he has established peace. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So this Advent season, let's explore that word shalom. Let's consider Jesus as the Prince of Shalom. What are all the ways that God wants to work peace in you? What are all the ways that God wants you to work for his peace, his shalom, in the work he has for you? There's a lot of work to be done, but we have the help of the Lord. And with God, nothing is impossible. And with God, all things are possible. And if God be for us, who can be against us? The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, said, I have fought the good fight. We all have ahead of us a good fight. If you have life ahead of you, you've got a fight. And that fight is the good fight that God has for you to be in as you journey and fulfill his purposes and his mission for you personally. He's got a plan. And it's an exciting plan. Just like he had a plan for John the Baptist, he has a plan for you. And there's things that are going to be heralded in, that need to be heralded in, that you uniquely are made to do. We live in, as Charles Dickens said, the worst of times and the best of times. In The Tale of Two Cities, he opens up his story that way. But we live in a dark time, but a time of great light. Let your faith be your light in him, in Christ. God bless you.